superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now.
And that's it. The buzzer sounds on a Celtic sweep.
This is a very dicey subject, folks.
I know so many people wanted to see us fail.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And everybody's laying into Ben Simmons. We just don't know what's happening.
Earlier on the show, Cincinnati cornerback Sauce Gardner. Coming up, Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt, plus Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We've got a lot going on in this program in this hour, and essentially over the next 40 minutes or so. If your name isn't Kyle, don't call in. We're not taking your call. That's about it. We're sorry. We don't mean to be that difficult. But Kyle Hamilton's about to call into this program. And we also have Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football. Can't wait to chat with him and get his thoughts on the NFL draft in Las Vegas. He's coming to make the announcement of the third round selection for the Buffalo Bills, who love his passion for their team. He's kind of like, has he shoved Berman out of the Bills world? I mean,
Is he
now beginning to circle the wagons?
Has
he circled the wagons on Berman? Should I ask him that? Is he circling the wagons?
That should be your first question, Kyle. 100%.
Yeah, he's X-ing out Berman on the Buffalo Bills. You know what? The world is wide enough, to use the Hamilton phrase. There's enough room for everybody. And one thing that Berman's definitely not going to do is leave Hawaii to fly to Vegas to make this announcement. So Kyle should pretty much do it.
Yeah, he's safe.
Sounds good. At any rate, he's going to call in. And then we've got Garrett Wilson in hour number three on this program. Started the show talking about the disappointment of the Nets and the ascension of the Celtics. I'm going to give myself a pat on the back, Chris, for talking about the ascension of the Celtics first.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you.
Because those things get lost. It's not like the Celtics are just were expected to dispatch with the Nets, even though Brockman predicted they'd sweep.
I don't believe he meant it, but he said it.
No, I mean, well, you got to speak things into existence. Speaking of which, yeah, Sauce Gardner was on the program. So he spoke the Nets sweep into existence. And I'm speaking Sauce Gardner to the Jets.
Talking about Sauce way longer than I was thinking sweep. But.
So, yeah, you weren't even the 2 seed yet.
Yeah, not
when
yet.
I was talking about it. You might have been the 4 seed when I was started talking about it.
We might have been the play-in. Like, I'm not really sure.
Oh, my gosh. So if you missed any of that, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. What I call Kyrie a faux humanities professor. It's just like I don't want to hear it anymore. You know, I enjoyed his work much better as a Blue Devil and a Cavalier and a comedy star of Uncle Drew.
You know what I was thinking about too, about this? You know how in golf, like, if you win a major or something, you get a 5-year exemption or a 10-year exemption. You get to play in every event.
Or the Masters forevermore.
Or you get your card or whatever. Kyrie's exemption from making that 2016 shot over Steph, I think, has run out. All the goodwill and the greatness of this guy from just hitting that one shot. He's living a lot on that one shot. And I think this whole year kind of proves that it's over. People are just kind of sick of it. Sick of him.
Didn't want to be the Robin to LeBron's Batman, so he left. And remember, he left saying some unkind things, one would say, or
about LeBron.
Right.
Yeah.
And where they had to have some sort of
get together,
right? When he was in Boston. And then
his dad played for BU and was like, I'm home. This is where my dad played. I want my number up there in the rafters.
Well, then he went to Brooklyn because he always wanted to be a Net growing up in New Jersey. Right. Don't forget that one.
Like, what?
He smudged through the Celtics.
And the sage and the he stomped on the thing, which was like, whatever. But I just think a lot of, you know, it's done. It's over. People are just so sick of this guy. And like to think that Kevin Durant, as great as he is and his legacy is an all-timer.
Wants to hitch his wagon to this.
Exactly. Like is joining forces with this guy. And after all of this, this is still the guy you want to ride with?
That's what I'm saying. Does he still have the receipt on leaving the Warriors?
I don't know if they would take him back at this point.
I don't think so they would either. I was just throwing that out there.
No,
that's
I understand
what he should
what you're
do.
Doing, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's okay, just... guys, stop. Don't turn this to another Giannis thing. The Golden State Warriors would 1,000% take Kevin Durant back.
But who are they giving up to get him in this hypothetical situation?
I'm just saying, would you take him back? Of course.
Of course they take him back.
Well, of course, in a vacuum, yeah, I'll take him back.
Hold on a minute. Is this a Jordan? Is this a Giannis take? Don't break up your team. Well, Giannis, if I say I wouldn't give up Jordan Poole for him?
See, dang it, Rich, I didn't want you to say I preface it by saying don't let this become another Giannis thing, and then you went and said the thing out loud that you should have just
would
said
you,
inside.
Wow, did we just stumble into this? And then we'll get to Kyle Hamilton in a second here. Do we just stumble? Like, would you trade
a
Jordan Poole package
for Kevin Durant?
Yes.
Kevin Durant right now?
You know who he is?
I do. I've said nothing but great things
about
him.
Durant, a bunch of foot injuries and Achilles.
I speak so well about him, he doesn't tweet back at this show. He doesn't clap back at us.
Yeah, we don't want any part of
that. He's already IG'd back at Barkley. Did you see that?
But we don't want to be on that side of
Kevin Durant in year 15?
I don't want to be on that side of anybody.
This is very different than Giannis and Hero situation. Giannis was beginning to realize his powers. Kevin Durant's powers are diminished. He's at the end.
I'm bringing Brockman over to the dark side.
Come on.
I'm just
saying. You trade Jordan Poole and others and picks and others
for Kevin Durant?
Yes, right now.
Abso-smurfly.
You would destroy what you're building, rebuilding in Golden State to bring in.
It's the same thing. It's like a Mad Lib with just different proper names in it.
It's not the same. It is not the same. It is not the same.
I love it.
Absolutely.
When it's all said and done, Giannis is going to be higher up on Mount Rushmore than Kevin Durant.
Oh.
But that, regardless if that's true or not, but that has nothing to do with this Golden State thing.
Well, no, but it has to do with comparing the argument of this is another Giannis trade situation from a couple of years ago.
No, we can put that to bed as just being awful. But
no, I know, but I'm just saying Giannis was beginning to realize his powers.
I've already admitted that. You don't have to lay on the word awful.
Kevin Durant
it was a terrible take. It's the worst take I've ever had.
Okay. A lot of times I realize I lost Price is Right, too, but you sometimes lean into that out of nowhere. So, you know, sometimes we lean into things.
All right. He's just already, you know what he's trying to do? He's building up a defense mechanism because he knows
that the Sixers are about to go back to
that situation, especially with that Jay Wright headline we saw at the bottom of the screen. Philadelphia basketball it's already on the down.
Sixers blow the 3-0. They fire Doc and hire Jay Wright. I mean, that's a great scenario for you.
Look, I love my teams.
Hold on a minute. We got Kyle Hamilton here. Hold on that thought. We're going to get this another. Look at this later. All right.
I'm just saying.
He's on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, and he's one of the top prospects available in this year's draft. He's here. Courtesy of Sleep Number, Kyle Hamilton here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Kyle?
Doing well, Rich. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. All right. Walk me through your nerves right now. Do you have any?
Honestly, the nerves peaked probably midway through the process. I'd say I'm pretty chill right now. Just decided the Thursday come.
That's right. You can control what you can control. What was the peak of the nerves about for you, Kyle?
Honestly, I think it was me doing better in some areas and knowing I could have and wanted to have that opportunity back, but kind of coming to the realization that it is what it is at this point. And like you said, control the controllables from here on out. So I think I've done a good job with that, and now I'm in a good headspace.
All right, let's talk about you a little bit here. First things first, you were born in Greece because your dad was playing European hoops. Is that correct, Kyle?
That is correct, yep.
Okay, so when did you move to the States?
So I was in Greece for about 11 months, I think, and then we moved to Russia. And then I came to the States when I was 3 permanently. So I call Atlanta, Georgia home. and that's where I've been since I was three.
So you really don't have any memory at all of living abroad, pretty much, Kyle, right?
Is that not, unfortunately. My older brother does, but I need to go back for sure.
Well, at some point, you've got that time. And So you moved to Georgia. You say Atlanta is your home. So who was your football, I guess, mentor growing up? Who was the one that was that you wanted to be like, Kyle?
I grew up a big LSU fan. So I saw Eric Reed, Tyrann Mathieu, Odell, all these guys that came through LSU. Pretty much wanted to be like them. I've obviously been playing at the college level, and maybe even pro since a young age. So it's been a long time coming, to say the least.
So why did you go to? Did you try to go to LSU, Carl?
I did not, unfortunately. They did offer me, which is a childhood dream come true. But I actually decided to go to Notre Dame just for other reasons that I'm sure you probably know. Just alumni network, academic rigor, just relationships you'll grow throughout your time there. So I'm definitely thankful for LSU, but I feel like I made the right decision.
No, I'm a Michigan guy, so
right.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
No, so so I'm trying to, I don't know much about the Notre Dame alumni network, other than the fact that Jerome Bettis is from the state of Michigan, that I like to point out to him all the time. But so what did attract you to Notre Dame then? What was the deciding factor for you to go there?
I kind of want to get out of the South and experience something new. Felt like Notre Dame had a lot to offer outside of football, while also having the opportunity to play for a national championship every year. I feel like it was a perfect storm for me, and having the opportunity to meet the guys on the team, meet the coaches, I just thought culture-wise I fit in really well, and those guys would be my best friends for life. So really glad I made the decision, not only for the academics and football, but just relationships as well.
So did Brian Kelly walk into your living room back in the day to recruit you?
He did, actually. He did.
Okay.
We had gumbo, ironically, because he's now in Bad Moves, but my mom made gumbo.
Huh. So how? Did he pronounce your family's name with an accent then? In the same way that he did when he got to LSU?
I think Coach Kelly's a good dude, and after getting to know him, he has their backs and does a lot for us behind the scenes. But I would say school recruited myself a lot, just learning more about it and the people there. And Coach Kelly was a part of those people. But I think you have to put some effort in to recruit at Notre Dame. But at the end of the day, you got to make the decision yourself whether you want to take that challenge on. And I know it's a much harder challenge than Michigan. So that's
okay. All right. That's some fire right there. I feel like you just came across the middle like I'm on a bang eight, and I just found Kyle Hamilton. I feel like that's what that I think I just understand what it's like to go across the middle on Kyle Hamilton right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so tell me about your pre-snap thought process when you were out there patrolling the defense, Kyle. What goes through your mind before a big play?
First formation, what they like to align in. I get that throughout the week, just watching film. What they like to align in, are they in a formation that where they can motion to another formation that they like, and they're just trying to hide it? Who's where within the formation? Is there a receiver in the backfield? How many tight ends do they have? Stuff like that. Quarterback demeanor. Shotgun under center. There's a bunch of stuff that goes on pre-snap, honestly. Communicating with everybody else in the back end and in the back seven, just to make sure we're all on the same page, rotation-wise, and, who's up, who's down, all that good stuff, so we can play well. But that's one thing I learned about college, and I'm sure it is the same thing in the pros, is that I would say pre-snap is harder than post-snap most of the time.
Absolutely. Certainly from somebody playing the position that you play and the manner in which you could potentially, if you will, quarterback it. So when you said earlier in this interview that you were emulating Eric Reed and Tyrann Mathieu, have you spoken to either of those guys? Who have you leaned on in that regard?
I have not, no, but hopefully get to one day. But I also throw Sean Taylor in there. That's like my go safety. I know all his YouTube videos, and that's somebody I feel like I want to emulate my game after as well. But in terms of kind of mentor, Jalen Elliott and Aloe Gilman were both two safety captains at the University of Notre Dame when I was a freshman, and they helped me a lot throughout the process, not only just football wise, but mentally. I've navigated, and they're both in the NFL now, so having them pretty close is a benefit to me for sure.
Kyle Hamilton here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who have you visited? Who have you seen?
Which team?
Yes, sir. I mean, and I guess I should have set this up a little bit better. Look, you are one of the biggest mysteries of the one of the most mysterious drafts that I've ever been around, because I hear you're on the top of people's boards. It's the position that you play that might count against you, if you will, in terms of being a top choice in this draft, a top two, three choice in this draft, which you might wind up being anyway. So I'm wondering what you might be able to, what breadcrumbs we can drop here to see where you might wind up in a couple of nights.
I mean, I've been all over. I've been to Detroit, Atlanta, New York, Houston, Washington, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. But I mean, at the end of the day, I have no clue. I know just as much as you, Rich. And I think that's kind of funny part about it. It's like you're watching the season finale to a Netflix show, just like pre-draft process, and we're just about to find out what happens on Thursday. So we'll see. And wherever I go, I'll be thankful and excited.
Are you going to Vegas? Will you be there?
I'm in Vegas right now, actually.
You're in Vegas? Oh, my gosh, you're there already. Is this your first time in Las Vegas, Nevada, Kyle?
It's my second time. I came here for a basketball tournament when I was about 16.
16. So you've never been in a casino then, is what you're saying, until now?
I'm not, no.
Okay. Have a good time. Be careful. In the meantime, tell me what you're doing with sleep numbers. Tell me what you're doing with sleep number, Kyle.
Yeah, so thanks, sleep number. We have the opportunity to talk, so I appreciate them for that. But, yeah, so I'm partnering with them throughout the draft process. I think that was a great opportunity for me and for them to showcase their recovery opportunities with their 360 smart bed. And I think it'd be great for me at the next level for sure to have this bed to aid in my recovery and sleep. And I think it's really important, and quality sleep helps me like be at my best within the sport and everybody. So having Sleep Number on my side throughout this process and continuing going forward is going to be really good for me.
Fantastic.
And it's helped me a lot for sure.
Okay. That's its Sleep Number, which is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, something we talk about here on this show every now and then. Last one for you. What does it mean for you to wear that C on your chest, Kyle?
I don't really think it's resonated with me yet. Being a captain of Notre Dame is a prestigious group, and I'm thankful, honored to be a part of it. And voted on by my teammates, which is honestly most important at the end of the day, which I appreciate the most, that my peers would vote me as a leader of the team, and just try to do my best to justify that nomination, I guess, or selection as a captain, and pay it forward and pave the way for future captains that may have been on the team when I was a captain. So I'm honored, blessed, and still don't think it's resonated with me.
Kyle, good luck in the draft. I hope I get to see you in Las Vegas. And then I hope we get to chat as soon as you wind up in your new spot. I look forward to hearing about it and seeing what you do at the next level. Thanks for the time.
I'm good, Rich. Thank you.
You got it. That's Kyle Hamilton from Notre Dame right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. Very impressive young man, to say the least there. And I had him in my mock draft falling all the way through the top 10. And if that happens, Ron Rivera, well, yeah. I mean, how do you be shocked?
No, I know. I understand. I mean, look, this draft is sneaky loaded.
It's sneaky loaded at the very top end.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom Pelissero wrote a piece today on NFL.com that only teams on average have just 15 first round grades on this in this draft. And that he says that's in line with a lot of other drafts, but there are many teams that have fewer than that. And I'll just say this is that it's entirely possible Kyle Hamilton falls all the way through. Same thing with our third hour guest in Garrett Wilson. And if that happens, then Ron Rivera and the Washington Commanders will run their pick up to the podium to get him 11th overall.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, it's possible any of these folks fall through. Like Derek Stingley Jr., Drake London could fall through. I just don't think Hutchinson, Walker, Jermaine Johnson, Sauce Gardner, either of the two tackles, and Kayvon Thibodeau fall through. I think I just gave you your top seven. Although I have Thibodeau falling down to 8 because I think the Giants are going to take a wideout. Even though they could take Kyle Hamilton at 7. And then one of the wideouts falls through.
Yeah, I like Stingley too. I feel like he might be the best corner in the draft too, other than Sauce.
All right, I saw that same headline at the bottom. You got to tell me more about this.
Yeah, okay.
Is Jay Wright going to coach in the NBA? After all this, he's retiring to go. He's not staying at Villanova because he's out of coaching entirely.
Yeah, the ESPN bottom line was leaves door open for NBA return.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about that. That's next, and then the entire. How about we'll just throw the entire Philadelphia basketball scene into one big old grab bag.
Here we go.
That's next on the Rich Eisen Show, and your phone calls 844-204 Rich, number to dial.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Callaway didn't just create their longest irons ever with the new Rogue ST. They made their longest irons ever perform at the highest level for every player. There is a Rogue ST iron. There's 4 different offerings. One of them is for you, based on your handicap, based on how fast you swing, based on what you need in terms of forgiveness. I'm one of those who needs a lot of forgiveness. So the incredible combination of speed, forgiveness, and all-around performance, that is the Rogue ST Max. That should be your Rogue ST iron. If you want more hollow body construction and a compact player shape because you're a low to mid single-digit handicapper, the Rogue ST Pro is the one for you. The best game improvement model, that's for mid to high handicappers. Total forgiveness with high launch, wide soles, enhanced offset, that's the Max OS. The Max OS Lite is the most forgiving high launch iron, and that helps folks with slower swing speeds. So if you don't swing as fast, you might not get around the ball as well as you used to. The Max OS Lite's for you. Bottom line is no other irons perform like the new Rogue ST irons. Find your Rogue ST irons at callawaygolf.com/Go Rogue for all of that. Let's go to Sravan in Washington, D.C. Did I see your name correctly, sir?
Yes, you did, Rich. How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, Brockman, long time no see. Been back on the show. Good to see you, bro.
Hey, what's up, man? What's happening?
And I'm just celebrating the Celtics win. But, Rich, I got a very serious question for you.
Okay.
Obviously, I know you're going to Vegas for the draft this year, correct?
I am going in a few hours. I'm wheels up.
All right, so we all know during the first round, you know, crazy things have happened, and we just saw rumors,
yes,
you know, of Jacksonville potentially. You know, Trent Baalke has a, you know, affinity for Trayvon Walker, which then made me, you know, question something. We know you're a Michigan man. True and Blue, the Mount Rushmore of Michigan, alongside Tom Harmon, Tom Brady, and Charles Woodson. Correct?
Me on that you're talking about?
Yes,
left,
sir.
All right, you left out Desmond, but go ahead. What else you got?
So the question I have is, if for some miracle reason, Trayvon Walker, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Evan Neal go 1-2-3, and Aiden Hutchinson is on the board at 4 for the New York Jets, ooh, gangrene, will you stick to your true blue roots and take Aiden Hutchinson over the guy you have been clamoring for since Chris Brockman was smoking 6 cigars for the Patriots Super Bowl, win over the Rams? Aiden Hutchinson or Sauce Gardner? What would you do, Rich?
Oh, how dare you? How dare, wow, you? How dare you? How dare you? First of all,
yeah, Rich.
Rack him.
What great happens?
Call. Great call.
What happens is you choose Aiden Hutchinson. He's the first overall pick in this draft. Wow. He should be. Oh, yeah.
I hope Sauce turned his radio off.
No, that's my, great. That's value. You, when you can get number mind? One value at number 4, you take the value.
Yeah. You get a defensive end and a pass rush. That would be, I'm not even thinking that Aiden Hutchinson could be available for the Jets at 4. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I mean.
Wow. I'm just, on behalf of Sauce, I'm a little hurt.
I love Sauce Gardner. I want him. I'm not.
He just flipped real quick, Chris. He didn't even think about it.
Hold on a second. Let me just defend Rich real quick. Rich's Sauce love is twofold. One, he wants him because he's a great player.
Yeah.
But two, it's under the impression, assumed most likely correctly, that Aiden Hutchinson is going 1 or 2 and will not be available for the Jets at 4. However, in this new scenario by our friend in D.C., if Aiden Hutchinson suddenly is at 4, you're getting number 1 value at number 4. So you got to take the value.
And I'll just go, and thank you.
Of course.
I'll just go the food analogy a little bit here. Another reason why Sauce is a great nickname for this remarkable young man and talent. And that's the thing I love meeting about him, is about who he is as a person. Not just how talented he is and what makes him tick. That's another reason why I want the Jets to take him. But Sauce, reason why it's another great name for him, it's not just to stir things up but or add spice. It's to cover things, right? Sauce covers food.
Yes.
Okay? It's not the food itself. It covers food. Perfect for a corner, right? Sauce covers. But that's great when the opponent, you're covering the opponent with Sauce. Mm. But if you have the steak yourself, you can have the steak. You don't cover the sauce. You get the steak, right? Sometimes the sauce will ruin the steak, correct? Mm. Right, Mike? You don't go to a highfalutin steak restaurant and say, give me sauce, right?
Well,
we talked about this yesterday.
Correct.
It's like if you ask for A1.
Right. You do what you...
I'm just assuming... I'm assuming steak's off the menu for the draft. I'm assuming the rare piece of filet mignon is not on the menu.
But if it comes up.
But if it comes up.
There's one of those cuts left.
Hold the sauce.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get a nice side at 10. Maybe you get the steak and the sizzle.
Oh.
Maybe he drops all the way to 10. Yeah. I'm seeing mock drafts say that. I think people are crazy. Drops all the way to 10. Okay. If we get Aiden Hutchinson at 4 and Sauce at 10.
Oh, my God.
Come on now. Stop it.
Rip the knob off.
Come on.
Honestly. I might go immediately to the blackjack table where I have gotten an email from the NFL to say I'm not allowed to do. I might just have to do that.
Roulette, Rich. Put numbers on. Put 4 and 10. Boom. That's it. Walk away. Leave it. 4 and 10.
Knowing my luck, that's when the green would hit.
25.
That's when the green would hit.
By the way, those greens. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Get those out of there.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not allowed to do
I've
that.
I've seen
for this
some
draft.
Wheels with 3 green. What are we really doing there?
Yeah.
Mike, you know.
I don't know with that.
TJ Jefferson.
Yes.
TJ Jefferson. My Philadelphia 76er friend.
Yes.
It looks like Joel Embiid has got a serious injury. Does it not?
Yeah. I mean, they said he's going to need surgery after the season.
I know.
It can't get worse. He's just got to play.
So that's when you need Harden's got to step up, right? Like that. We made this trade for the beard.
That would be the reason that you would acquire someone with James Harden's, you know.
And, you know.
Resume.
We're waiting. Great tweet from the Philadelphia 76ers before the game last night. That did not really, age well. Age poorly. James Harden coming to work in a full camouflage outfit. And the Sixers tweeted out, where is James Harden? Huh? Isn't that funny? You can't see him because there's like, you know, a grassy knoll background right there. And he's dressed in camouflage. He's like, he disappears. Where's James Harden?
That's kind of funny.
That's a very difficult tweet to post.
That's funny.
Prior to a game in which he then steps up and takes only 11 shots. And so the question is, where is James Harden? Great question. Great question. 4 of 11, 15 points. That's it. As the Raptors, you know, took that game 4, and it's one of those, okay, we'll go home and take care of it in game 5. That's the way these things happen. It's like if you're up 3-0 and you don't win game 4, you'll take care of it in game 5. You don't do that now. Better take care of it in game 6 because you don't want to roll the dice on game 7. And that's where suddenly the Raptors have placed the Philadelphia 76ers. Only the 14th team to ever force a game 6 after going down in that 3-0 hole. And as we know, nobody's ever dug out of that hole. Only 3 of those 14 teams forced a game 7. Will the Raptors be a 4th? Amen. You know what Harden doesn't look like anymore?
A top-tier NBA player?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Or himself.
Yeah.
And now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm already hearing it. You're reading it. You're talking. Hamstring, right? He's got that hammy.
Mm-hmm.
At what point, I've always wondered this. At what point will James Harden's lack of conditioning catch up with him?
Thank God we're looking at it.
It feels like it, doesn't it? Where at some point, I'll just use myself, because then, you know, this weekend on Saturday on NFL Network, you'll see my athletic form running the 40 again. I'll choose myself as an athlete. You know, when I started running the 40, and I would do it in dress shoes, lace-up dress shoes, later that night, when I was 33, 34, 35 years of age, 36, 37. I didn't feel the hammies. I didn't feel the hammies. I didn't feel the hips. I didn't lower back didn't tighten up. Didn't do any of that stuff. Then I realized, you know, I should stretch before doing this thing. Mm-hmm. What a moron that I used to stretch and run. Didn't stretch, didn't train, and didn't run in regular, like real running shoes. Like, it's amazing I didn't blow out every Achilles on planet Earth. Now, as a 52-year-old man, stretch, not that much training still, unfortunately. But I'm running in these beautiful shoes that St. Jude Children did the designs for and everything like that. But later that night, a couple hours later, as a matter of fact, I'm like feeling it. And it just like dawns on me. And I keep saying to myself, I can't do this next year. Dawns on me. Not as young as he used to be. You get older, and the ways that you live life catch up to you. Gotta wonder if that's what's happening with James Harden. I've always wondered, at some point, the honey bun James Harden world would catch up to him. The guy who would just out of spite, would gain 15 pounds overnight on his team. I don't know what he'd do. He'd just pack on the weight. All of a sudden, he would show up, and he would he would look like, you know, he's playing in a rec league. He's one of those weekend warrior types, right?
Magic City's got great food, Rich. That's what I've heard.
And you just got to wonder. The burst isn't there. The jump isn't there.
The confidence isn't there. It seems like he has zero confidence in his
abilities. What happens in Philadelphia? Last year, Simmons disappeared. Now it looks like he doesn't. Like, now's the time. This is why you got Harden. So if Embiid's not 100%, Harden picks up that slack.
Yeah, in theory.
It
was the idea.
That's why I'm sitting there watching. I'm like wondering, is it time that he's caught up? Has Father Time finally caught up with the beard? Could you imagine? What if he does like a, what if Brady gets a hold of him?
Oh, man.
James Harden?
What if there's a JH13 system that goes TB12, JH13? What if he does something like that? What if he showed up like rock solid, like rocked up next year? What if he got in the gym and he just decides, you know what? I'm sick and tired of everybody saying that I'm an all-time great.
32?
And I'm... It's time. 32?
Oh, it's time. It's time.
Because guess who's at 37? He won't look like LeBron.
He'll be out of the league.
Don't you think? 1,000%.
Yeah.
It's like time. What if he just like decided, you know what? I'm going to just tap out of whatever lane he's in, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to go hit it. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to live right. I'm going to do every – again, I'm just assuming
– we're assuming that he's not, but he could be. But, yeah.
Does that look like a guy to you who's a health nut? Yeah, does he look like a health nut to you?
Something is not right. But that would be – yeah, that would
he's
be amazing.
He's incredibly talented. Again, the fact that talent is not meeting opportunity for him again – I'm not going to say it yet. You can go up in Philadelphia and get a few days off, and he can come back with some bounce. But I don't know, man. He's beginning to get up there.
So he's a free agent after next season.
Yeah, and as I was telling Chris this morning, if this play continues, then I think ultimately he's in line for kind of a big extension, right, Chris, after
he's due $47 million next year, and I got to imagine he's not
going to
re-sign for less, so he's going to want a four-year $200.
I wouldn't do it. Would you give him that?
Yeah, let me explain something.
Age 33 or 37, no chance.
Of course not.
No way.
So eventually it looks like we're going to get Simmons off the books and just wipe your hand and just, I don't know, this team.
And then what? It's Embiid and Maxey?
Chris, I have no idea.
Well,
I wish I did.
Under Jay Wright's system, right? So
under Jay Wright's system.
And you know I love Doc
Rich,
Rivers,
you're friends
man.
With Doc. Come on, you can't do that.
Well, look, I picked the Sixers to win the series
Doc
in six.
Would Doc want any part of this anymore either?
I don't know.
If this is, again, it's amazing what two losses in a row will do.
Yeah.
Oh, they could win tomorrow
that's what
by
I'm saying.
30.
You know what I mean?
Fine,
but let me tell you what's not going to happen. Them winning tomorrow.
You think this game seven, you're already ready for it?
I predicted Sixers in six, but like, I mean, let's just be honest. It would be my luck. They're going to find a way to
six,
blow this.
Sixers, isn't it amazing that the Sixers are up 3-2 and the Mavs are up 3-2? And let's get close. Let's zoom in closer in the picture.
Yeah.
Headline's the same. Let's zoom in a little closer in the photograph that has something to do with it. Pinch. Let's get closer. Let's go. What is that? What is that up 3-2? One team's like, 3-2. Here we go. We got our guy back. He's got some pep in his step. Here we go.
By the way, Luka was awesome last night.
And then the other team's up 3-2. It's just like, oh, no.
Because I've seen this movie before. Okay? I've seen it before. It's on my DVR, Chris.
What is the deal with Jay Wright? What is there a story associated with the bottom line headline with Jay Wright at all? Like that he's leaving the door open on the NBA? Like which door? The Los Angeles door? It can't be the Sacramento door.
So here it is, Rich. So on Tuesday,
he ain't going to Sacramento, Rich.
He was on ESPN Radio with Keyshawn and Jay Will.
Okay.
And he didn't dismiss the idea of being in the NBA. The quote was, right now, I definitely need a break.
Right now.
Right now, I'm looking forward to this.
Did you use right now twice?
Yeah, right now, I'm looking forward to this. So he has like just a special assistant position at Villanova. But honestly, down the road, I'd be lying. I don't know what I'm going to feel like.
Oh, he right now'd it. He Brady'd it.
And so remember, Jay Wright was on the Team USA staff for 2020. Mm-hmm. So he has experience coaching with NBA players.
Oh, there's no question the guy can coach an NBA team.
He said Tuesday he believes that experience may have satisfied his desire for a taste of
may
the
have.
NBA.
Right,
so
he right now.
NBA, he's right now.
Jay Wright, right now. Jay Wright, right now. Anybody who writes now it means.
I loved coaching those guys.
Of course he did. Why wouldn't he? Coaching those guys, but the Olympic team.
The Olympic team.
Yeah. That's an Olympic
world.
Team. That's the
Olympic,
best
Olympic team.
Altogether.
The best there is in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, if you had no desire to ever coach in the NBA, what do you think about coaching the NBA? I don't think so.
Right now,
I need a break.
Of course.
Right now. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm involved in Villanova.
Yeah.
And then, I had some fun coaching the Olympic team.
Wow, you went higher register. Is that your reading?
This is my interpretation of the quotes.
Chris Brockman's dramatic reading of Jay Wright's copy on ESPN Radio today.
I'm just going to say this. Jay Wright from Bucks County, right outside of Philly.
Oh, don't do Doc that way.
I'm not doing anybody that way. You didn't bring that up without thinking that we were going to get to this point. Now, come on. Like you knew that that's where this
you could be
path
moving
was going
to
lead,
you could be moving on to Boston in 2 days.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you Didn't bring it up without us thinking about it.
You're playing Milwaukee.
Yeah. Right. Sixers are going to Miami.
It's just, I always have football on the brain.
Need part
I
of the Celtics
not,
right now.
How do you not see it? The lowest goes to the highest. What are we doing?
Well, it's a bracket. They don't reseed.
Thank you. I got into a big argument with my fantasy football league about this.
The lowest goes to the highest.
But Rich, it's like the March Madness. It's the bracket.
They don't reseed.
They don't reseed in the March Madness.
You play with the cards you dealt.
Oh, boy.
You know Jay Wright scored 69 points in a high school game, Brockman? Did you know that?
Nice.
So you got Giannis next? Is that what you got?
Yeah. Not worried whatsoever.
Wow, that's a bold statement.
Let's take a break,
that's
everybody.
That's bold, my friend.
Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial your phone calls. And Kyle Brandt's calling at the top of next hour before we get to Garrett Wilson. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. All right, I'm going to bring something to your guys' attention. And I'll ask you this question. So driving around Los Angeles the other day, shuttling kids from one place to the next.
Professional taxi driver.
Oh, my gosh. So actually, I've dropped Coop off at his little league practice, and I go back home to make sure that the other two kids have breakfast. Suze went out for a walk in the morning on Sunday.
Okay.
And my kids are now of an age where I could just leave them home and alone for about an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
And so wait till you get to that one day. you're not close to
not
that
even,
yet.
Not even close.
You're not even remotely
Don't
close.
Even worry about it, Chris.
It does add its own level of angst and difficulty or whatever. But,
right.
You know, for an hour, you can, or for a half an hour, you could just, I'll go drop him off.
Like
and
I could run to the store.
Yeah,
and just,
right.
Yeah, or
so I grabbed a little bit of breakfast and I'm bringing it home for him. And I passed by what looked to be a fresh accident on the street.
Okay, I saw you tweet about this.
Where one car, it looked like, was trying to go around another that was maybe making an illegal U-turn. I don't know if this happened. It's what it looked like to me, where one car is in like a yellow diagonal stripe median that it shouldn't kind of be in. Mm-hmm. And the other car was in an angle.
Like they were going around them?
Looked like, you know, car on the left was impacted by car on the right on the front right tire. Okay.
Okay.
And this is going this way, going east, if you will.
Okay.
And the one car was on the north side of things and one car from the south, and boom, they hit each other. And both suffered severe damage. And the cars that collided were a Maybach and a Prius. And I thought to myself,
who hit who?
It looks like the Maybach might have collided with the Prius, but I also looked like the Maybach didn't expect the Prius to try and go around.
Oh, so the Maybach was maybe doing the illegal turn?
It looked like to me.
Okay.
Again.
Ooh.
You know, from my days of working at the Staten Island Advance, I've seen a few accident involvements.
Sure.
Okay. So I sat there and I thought to myself, if you're the Maybach, are you upset that it was a Prius involved in an accident? Would you have felt better? It's terrible.
Terrible.
It's an expensive car.
Very expensive.
Would
car.
You have felt better if the car that you were involved with was equal to the price of your car?
Ooh, but that's a tough equal, though, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Or you just, even in the area code. Even in the area code.
Right.
It's kind of like...
Like a six-figure car.
It's like the accident version of me wanting to... If my team goes out in the NCAA tournament, I want to lose to a team that was better than mine. They go the whole way.
Right. Higher seed, may make the Final Four or something.
Right. You want to lose to a higher seed, and this Maybach loss to...
Like
compared to the price of their car,
like
UMBC.
A 15 seat.
Yeah.
Who is it? Might have been.
That's what honestly, this is what I'm thinking about. Is it, if you get into an accident, wouldn't you want your car?
You want a better car to hit you.
Would you agree?
Right.
Well, I'm thinking of the two times I got in the wrecks, and the one time it was a Volvo SUV. She ran a stop sign and T-boned me.
Oh, my God.
But I got screwed over insurance wise in that one, and then I got rear ended and my car got totaled, but I don't remember what kind of car she had though.
So what's your answer to my question?
I mean, obviously you would think, in theory, you'd want a car that was nicer than yours, but to hit you.
I passed by that accident. I'm like, oh, my God.
And where was this at? Was this on Coldwater?
It was not. Oh. No. It was not.
Oh, man.
I honestly thought. It was like the worst mismatch since Mike Tyson punched out that drunk guy on a plane.
I mean, can we talk about that? Like, what are you thinking?
You got to be really drunk.
Right?
I think that, dude, if you see some of the videos, how much he was antagonizing Mike, he had it coming. I don't even think he was mad that he got hit. It was one of those, all right, I had it coming.
Yeah, but like, what would
why do you antagonize Mike Tyson?
I think Mike thought it was funny at first, and then it just got annoying.
No, but why do you antagonize Mike Tyson to begin with? Like, how drunk do you have to be? And then, if you had to game it out and you're going to antagonize Mike Tyson, wouldn't you choose a venue where you can escape?
Yeah, run away.
Maybe run a little bit if you needed to.
Like, was this guy planning on, like, DB Coopering his way out of this situation?
He had to parachute in his backpack.
I hope people get that right.
I mean, we all got it right away.
Honestly, like, what's your exit strategy here? That you're gonna beat him up?
He's gonna go hide in the bathroom for the rest of the flight.
I guess, or just run back. I mean, they were in first class too. Like, the guy's not paid for his good seat.
Damn, man, I saw that too. By the way, I guess you guys don't think you just passed by that accident. I just sat there and I'm like, damn, man, that is.
No, sometimes I.
Like, what's the disparity of that car? Like $250,000 in between those two cars?
I'm with you sometimes,
something
Rich.
Like that.
I definitely.
Like that.
200 maybe?
Yeah. I definitely will sit there and try to figure out who did what and who's in trouble the most when I drive by them.
I would just be, if I was driving the Maybach, I would be pretty upset.
Right. It's just like, okay, so something that's even close to my value of my car. Okay, at least we both have the same skin in the game here.
Like, let a Tesla hit me. Because at least I know it's hard to get parts, and it's like, whatever.
By the way, I used to be obsessed with DB Cooper, like researching that whole story back in the day.
And we're also about to all get hit by a Tesla on Twitter anyway.
Hey, now.
Kyle Brandt coming up.
Wow.
Speaking of a drive-by.
I don't know. I just kind of thought about that the other day.
That's pretty funny. I saw you tweet about it, and I was trying to envision the scenario of what the accident was like or how bad it was.
If the Prius caused the accident, it's worse.
Neither car was total, though, right?
Oh, the front end of the Maybach was on the ground. Oh.
Really?
Oh, dude.
Yeah, those cars will fall apart real easy.
They're hitting their deductible.
Dude, the front grill was on the ground.
They're getting their deductible there.
They are not durable.
The front grill might cost as much as the Prius.
I was just going to say, I'm thinking that if the bumper and grill...
Let's just put it this way. The drapes were up in the Maybach. The drapes were up.
Was the gray poupon still inside the car?
It was all over the steering wheel.
Sometimes those Maybach will have a driver. Imagine if you have a driver and you're in the back with somewhere to be.
Like Lil Wayne said, I'm a Maybach rider. Imagine. Never drove it one time. I got a cool black driver. You know, yeah, you're not driving that yourself. No, someone else is driving your car.
$9,500 for that grill.
Say again?
So it's about $9,500 for the grill.
You're looking it up?
I'm first glance.
Yeah, so a 2020 Maybach, let's just go back a couple years.
Yeah, you're looking
right. The cheapest model is 202.
Yeah, so.
Damn.
Wow.
That's the cheap. That's you're getting.
And that's the base. That's base.
That's certified pre-owned?
That's factory. Yeah, certified pre-owned. Yeah.
I remember back when I used to work on Punk'd. We had a Punk'd once where we Punk'd Outkast. And it was, they rented a Maybach. They were in town. They didn't take insurance on the car. Oh. So we put the car through a windshield on Melrose and then told Outkast that they had to pay for it, but they didn't have the insurance.
Damn. How close were people coming to, like, hitting you? Like, I mean, like.
Well, I was always secure in the trailer.
In Video Village? You were firmly ensconced in Video Village?
Every now and then I was the one
with
who
the
got
headsets
to,
on, with those old Walkman headsets on?
Every now and then I got to, like, feed the actors lines. So that was always fun. Especially the season Whitney Cummings was on Punk'd. Her and I, we had a nice little thing going.
Where you both were feeding lines at the same time?
Well, no, she was the actor. I was in the truck.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that Maybach, man, is
that's what I thought of when I drove
past
it.
It's
one of those things where you're slow to see it from far away. You're seeing it, and you're like, wow, that's those two cars. And then it's just like, how are they angled that way based on the street,
right?
And then I get closer, and I'm like, oh my god, that's a big M on the ground, and that's a Prius that hit it. I'm like, that's not a fair fight, man.